Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Still in the presence of God. Wow. That was quite a breakfast, wasn't it? Yeah, God is here with us. That was my wife, Sam. And isn't that interesting, that last song we were singing about Father God, I Wonder. And she read that on a track. And then that was a part of a song. And then she came to Christ. And 15 years, 13, 14, I lost track now, 2005. 14 years ago, I met Sam at university. And through her, I met Jesus. So, and in the last sort of 10 years, we've seen thousands and thousands of people coming to Christ. Little he knew, probably the person who wrote the song, the impact that very prayer, that very song was going to have on, not just on two people, which is already good enough, but actually on the lives of many thousands of people across the world. So that's just phenomenal. What God can do with people like us, really. I mean, we're not particularly special. I mean, you are special to God. So you're special to us as well. But, you know, we're not the famous, as it were. But, you know, God can do amazing things in and through us. If your heart is open, you know, if you dare to trust Him, if you dare to believe, if you respond to and work towards the journey of faith that God is inviting all of us. So my name is Mario. I'm from Spain. I'm really blessed and it's a delight to be here with you guys, even though it wasn't expected, right? It was somehow improvised. Although, you know, we are expectant today for what God is already doing. You know, what we tend to say, we pastor a Baptist church in down south in Hove for like 6 years. And then the Lord called us back to the mission field. I mean, that was a mission field, I have to say to you. But the Lord called us back to the UK, to other countries, sorry. We went back to Spain. We're working in Mexico as well, and indigenous areas, and really more of an itinerant type of ministry. And we left, really. We left a position that was, you know, we were known in the community. We were known among the churches. You know, it was great. I love being a pastor. You know, I'm an evangelist. I mean, can you believe that? You know, an evangelist really loving being a pastor. I really loved it. And to be fair, I think I was doing a good job. You know, we were seeing the fruit of it by God's grace, indeed. And but then God called us. So we left a good placement, because one thing for sure for the Baptists, you know, they're good at blessing, you know, pastors and ministers and so on. And, you know, we left a thriving church and, you know, responding to the call of God, but we don't regret it. We're so happy because God is, you know, really fulfilling every aspect. And that's my wife, Samantha. So she's the reason I know Jesus. I went to church because of the girl. Don't know whether there's anybody here who can identify with what I'm saying. You know, I wasn't an angel of God. You know, I wasn't on the way. I was on the way to Damascus. I was persecuting the Christians. All of a sudden, I had this moment with Jesus. Now, I came to church, you know, because I really wanted the girl. And then I met Jesus. And then my life really changed from the inside out. So I was a very violent person. I was a very jealous person. And, you know, other things. And, you know, and all the things that go with that, trying to fill that void in my life. And Jesus came into my life and He began to change me from the inside out whilst I was at university. And I know that if God can do that in my life, how much more He wants to do, you know, amazing things in your life and through you in the lives of so many. I was working in Crawley I went to the barbers and to the hairdressers. I spent all this time with indigenous in Mexico, so I had this beard and this hair going all places. So I thought, now I'm here in the UK. I need to be all things to all men. I need to contextualize, you know, my message, my you know, the way I present myself. So, you know, it was wonderful with Dan walking in Crawley yesterday. And two things I noticed about Crawley. As I said, you know, I'm an evangelist. Our ministry is evangelistic. So part of what we do is train up train people, train believers, and train churches, and activate them, revive them as well, and lead by example in becoming more evangelistic. Rather than, sometimes we have this view about evangelism as something that we do once a year, or just the leaflets, right? We have this thing about the leaflets. We always put the leaflets behind. We say, put the leaflets in the back pocket, okay? Be the leaflet. You are the leaflet. You are the letter, right? You're the track, if you want. And we were walking. We have this in the ministry. We have these two O's, okay? So when we go to a place, just imagine two big eyes. A little one, David, has this big sort of moon eyes. So we have these two big O's. And one of them is openness, and the other one is opportunity. So when I was walking in Crawley, I really felt both of them. I could show you quite strongly that there's a real openness in Crawley, and there's opportunity as well. So, and these times happen for a reason. It's a time of grace. Obviously I'm not going to be barging at, go out and, evangelize and make disciples. Jesus said it already, so I don't need to insist on it. But I'm going to insist on it, in different ways today, this morning. So just to tell you a little bit about ourselves, and then I'm going to cover, as a good sort of Baptist sort of evangelist, I'm going to cover the 3 points that I have for you today. But before I do so, a little bit of my testimony came. I was a professional footballer back in the old days, a long, long time ago. I know I kept some of the, some of the outside, but trust me, that was a long time ago. I was in Spain, and in 96, there was a Premier League team who was really interested in my services. They were looking for a young and a cheap defender, and so I ticked those two boxes. But in the end, the thing didn't work out, so I was quite disheartened, and I quit football and I left my country, like a good, proud Spaniard, And so I came to the UK in 96, and then I set my heart and mind to become a clever person. So I went to university 2 or 3 years later, which I think, to be fair, for a footballer, I think it's quite an achievement. So, we know the cleverest in the playgrounds. So and so I went to uni and I started to work, had a nice job, and I had lots of, just friends, and was a very sociable person, still are, but maybe a little bit less these days. And then I went back to study, but after I finished my studies and I started to earn money and so on, things started to go a little bit downhill. So there was always this void in my heart, a void, by the way, that is in the heart of every person who doesn't know Jesus. That void can only be filled with the presence of God, with the love of the Father, with the love of Jesus. And so I tried to fill that void with a lot of things. I was going from back to west until I met Sam, waiting for the train. And I noticed the outside. But one of the things that I noticed, really, was the light that was in her eyes. Certainly something that wasn't in me. And that light wasn't in the life of those who I was hanging out with, trust me. So I met her, managed to get her phone number. I think it was quite an achievement. She didn't give me the mobile number, by the way. She gave me the office number, which I thought was great, because she's going to be there. She's not going to be able to see who's calling. So anyway, blokes, you know what I'm talking about, right? Maybe you don't. Good people here. So my intentions weren't that noble. At the time. So we met up at university, and then we started to talk about, she really presented God as a friend. She talked about Jesus. I thought Jesus was just a character in a story. As far as I knew, I didn't actually know what he had done for me on the cross, how, what represented his suffering, his death, his resurrection. And she didn't go in great detail. She just spoke in a very sort of familiar, relational way about God. And I just thought it was, at first I thought it was too good to be true, but I can smell a liar, because I was one. Yeah. The Lord has redeemed me, hallelujah, from that. But I can really smell a lying and a liar. And I knew she wasn't, she wasn't lying to me. Maybe she was deceived, but I couldn't quite understand why she was doing also a PhD in psychology. So how can you be deceived if you're doing a PhD in psychology? The third option was, quite challenging. Well, what if this is true? What if this is real? And I know, I understand I'm speaking to the choir, but we're getting somewhere, don't worry. I was posed with that. Well, what if it's true? There's a God, and if it's that good, then certainly I need to. If anything, I need to explore this possibility. And so I came to the Lord on a Sunday night, I was a little bit hungover, and I don't do those things anymore, hallelujah. But I came to Christ, and I remember that night, because that song has really brought that to memory. That night I really felt, even though I didn't know the doctrine of being born again and the doctrine of regeneration and so on, but that night I went back to bed, and I really felt like a baby that's just been born again. I really felt like that. I couldn't explain it along those words, but I really felt, and I went to bed for the first time in years. I wouldn't, you know, decide not to go to the pub and get wasted. Excuse me. My French, and I went to bed, and I really felt like I was a baby. I was in the arms of a loving father, and so that's been my journey ever since. Soon after we married a year later, and then I did my first mission trip to Mexico of all places, and I encountered the face of Jesus in the people that I was ministering to. I literally encountered the face of Jesus. I've seen the eyes of Jesus. And those who've seen the eyes of Jesus, you can never be the same again. That really changed my life. It made me want to kind of give my life to Him fully. You know, sometimes we say give your life to Jesus and so on, but I don't think I knew the extent of it. It just broke every understanding I had of love and people to see those eyes looking through your soul. You know, into the innermost parts of your spirit is really quite tremendous. And so I felt, yeah, Mexico was certainly, you know, wherever you see the face of Jesus, you know, you must go back there. So that was 13 years ago, and that's what we've been doing for the last 13 years. We used to spend more time in Mexico before the placement in Hove than in here. So, we consider ourselves also missionaries to Mexico. We're working in the most southern state of Mexico called Chiapas. Chiapas is famous because there was this, about 30 years ago, there was this war between indigenous people in Chiapas and the Mexican government, and it was very bloody, very, very bloody. But some of the guerrillas stay there, even to this day, and so we've been working in some of those areas. There's been a lot of persecution against Christians, and so what we have this strategy that whenever a place opens up, there we go. So I have people on the ground and say, look, Mario, this place is opened up for the gospel. So we try to always go there and to have as big an impact as we possibly can. And in the last 12, 11 years, we've seen in the state of Chiapas, which is now the fastest growing place for Christianity in the whole of Latin America, we've seen, I would say conservatively, about a million people have made a commitment to follow Jesus and actually joined the local churches. Personally, we haven't seen all of that ourselves. You know, there are people working in the ground. We train churches. There are ministries as well working in the ground. But we're the only few sort of European ministries that go into all those places. I mean, the gospel is thriving. And the miracles we've seen, I mean, some of the folk that work there, I know their qualifications here for becoming a pastor, becoming an elder. Sorry, if I'm speaking too fast, I'm embracing my inner Spaniard, so apologies for that. And, you know, we speak very fast in Spain. Some of the folk here, to become, for instance, in the UK, to become a pastor or an elder, you know, you need to have a certain, testimony with your life and, you know, with your family, and if you want to pastor a Baptist church, you need some kind of Baptist accreditation and so on. And but where I come from, you know, where we're working, to become one of the qualifications to become an elder or a pastor is whether you've seen the dead raised. So it's a little bit different, you know, some of the things. I mean, obviously the training, the theology training, comes in very handy. Trust me, you know, the word continues to be the word, and they need good theology. But, you know, they're very much seeing the demonstration of the power of God, and we've seen incredible, incredible things God doing. So we believe in a God of miracles. The first word that we heard from Sam and I'll tell you a little bit of personal stuff, because I've got the sense that I'm coming back here, you know, if God is willing, and you too as well. So one of the things that... I lost my track anyway. So, what's that? One of the words that God gave us for the UK. So, you must understand, I've just come back from Mexico. I'm a bit jet lagged, so, you know, cut me some slack here. One of the words that we see about the UK, when I was a little whippersnapper in the Lord a long time ago, one of the first words that we received whilst being in our first church was that the Lord has called us to lead revival here in the UK. And that we were to be a bridge among nations. And you may say, well, those things happen there in other places because people are more desperate, there's more need. It's true. It's actually true. There's a real physical need, okay? We know mercy and generosity and all those things are needed for those places. Trust me, you know, and we always encourage people to facilitate some of the things that we do. But what I see is that the need for this country is tremendous. And so we feel that we've actually taken that step of faith. We've come here to the UK for 3 months. We have lots of contacts all across the country, but we just basically, what we're doing is we're just trusting God and just allowing the Spirit led us to Dan and to Rebecca. I know it was through a practical thing that we were doing with a motorhome. So we're now living on a motorhome for the next 3 months. I know we've chosen the coldest part of the year. I know, the wettest as well. But we just felt this is God, and, you know, he doesn't live in houses. You know, he travels with his people. So we felt, well, let's be scriptural about this. And so we really trust in and we really believe in that actually all those things are happening. And I know we're hearing those things happening here in the UK. You know, some things are happening, and that's awesome and it's wonderful. But we really sense whether something extraordinary happens in the next 3 months, within the next 3 months, or whether seeds are sown for things that we may or may not see, we really believe that there's an acceleration. And what I call the Trinitarian mission for the church is coming back. And that, what I see, is prayer, it's evangelism, and it's discipleship. Prayer and evangelism and discipleship. And, you know, I think that God is bringing those things back to our priorities so that we see what's really important. And for Crawley, really, I really see and I really sense such an openness. I was in Tuxtla, which is the capital of Chiapas, last week in Mexico. And we really sense that. And within a couple of minutes, hundreds of people have made a decision of faith through local church. People who never evangelized before, who people who never actually spoken to other people. They struggle with the same things in their cities over there. In indigenous places, it's different because you can't evangelize because it's offensive. So you need to look for other means. You know, it needs to be a public event. That's why we do public, you know, large campaigns or crusades if you're like more than 60 and 60 and 70. So, you know, we have this approach and people are responding, and I really believe that that the gospel is back. The gospel is back. You know, evangelism is back. And you're probably thinking, well, we had it all before. No, it really is back. It's trendy now. It's become really trendy, you know, among the nations, all the ministry, all the churches, you know, and we want to be trendy, right? Good trendy, right? We want to know what the Spirit of God is saying. And I tell you what the Spirit of God is saying. The Spirit of God, we hear in the book of Revelation, that the Spirit of God is speaking to the churches, right? So let us hear what the Spirit is saying. And God doesn't just speak. You know, if you're going through the worst situation in your life, and I text you a message and say, be courageous. Well, thanks for that, but you know, give me something else, right? But when God says be courageous, it gives you the power to be courageous. When God speaks to you and says do not be anxious, it gives you the power to overcome anxiety, depression, and the rest of it. You know, when God says, you know, be at peace, he gives you that incredible shalom that surpasses all understanding. So with the words of God come the power to fulfill those things it's asking you to be and it's asking you to do. And I believe that God is open, Crawley. I think sometimes, you probably heard this a million times, isn't it? I'm going over the same old chestnut. However, you know, sometimes, you know, God had to bring somebody slightly different, you know, from another place, this exotic place, whatever, to tell you what he's been saying to you, and has been saying to us really for a long time. I used to have people in our church when we were in Hove. You know, we have a guest speaker, and he would speak a message that was pretty much what we've been sharing for weeks. And then somebody would say, "God really spoke to me. It's just amazing." It's just when he said that, I said, "I think we say that in so many different ways, you know, and you just have to be like that." But that's okay. It's a real blessing. Sister, as well, when you spoke, you know, and I love that. I love when, you know, we're not looking for a hot lot of words, but just when you bring the heart of God, And I think the mission for the church is very much bringing the heart of God to the people. Bringing the desires of God to the people. What God really thinks, the plans that God has for people. See, we do this evangelism training, and we cover about 10 things. So I couldn't possibly keep you here all day, you know. Fortunately, we don't have any high places for the young people to fall down and die, so that we have to raise them back from the dead. You know, that would be pretty cool, right? Hopefully, we'll make news in the local papers. But just to cover three areas that for me are very, very important, just to activate you. I feel that, you know, this is a mandate, as it were, for this season, is to activate, to equip, to encourage the churches, you know, to bring the reality of God, of a God who changes people's lives, of a God who heals today. And I know that you have some testimonies here of the healing power of God. Our God heals today, does incredible things. I was... last week with a boy. He was a 8 years old boy. I can't remember. I forget his name now. Pablo or something. And I was standing by there, and we were praying. And some people have come to the front and wanted to come to Jesus and give their lives to Jesus. And then there was a boy, and he was weeping and weeping. It's wonderful when you see a young child weeping in the presence of God. You just have to pause for a moment and see what God is doing, what God is saying, something really special. And I've seen in Chiapas, we've seen people literally, but burning in the presence of God. When the Holy Spirit comes, tremendous. I'm sure you guys remember the instance when Peter was preaching the gospel to the Gentiles for the first time. You know, he was all focused on the Jews, and he was preaching the gospel for the first time. And when he began to speak that word of hope, the salvation was also for the Gentiles, the Holy Spirit came. I mean, don't you want that? I would love that. I tell you what, my throat will be so much happier, you know, if like we only have like 5 to 10 minute messages, you know, because God comes. And we've been instances in the past where, you know, I remember in some time ago, it was the rainy season, and it was the third message on a Sunday that we were preaching. I was so exhausted, I had nothing to give. Have you ever felt like that, flat, you have nothing to give? Yeah? I'm sure you're full of the Spirit, you never felt that. I felt that, I felt like flat, and zero things to give. Whatever I'm going to do from this moment onwards, it's going to be purely by faith, because I've got no leading, no emotion, no joy, not bad things, just nothing happening within. And that's what it was that night. It was the last night. I was very tired, but God had other plans. And what if God has other plans for your life, further than what you think? And I remember standing there and speaking to my friend. Incidentally, one of the guys, he's a British guy, never been on mission before. And he was loving it. He was really excited. He was very anxious. He was this really anxious type. And he said, "Mary, what are you going to do?" I said, "Don't worry. God is going to," I was just saying, by faith as well, "God is going to do something." Not because I felt it. It's like, I believe God always does something. Amen. And so I was standing there and preaching. I started introducing myself. And I just felt, I said, "Look, God is going to do amazing things today." And I sound like a cliche, but I felt God in that. And then 2 minutes later, there's a big, you know, just people moving about and then this lady's come forward, to the front. They bring this lady, and she said, before that, I have said, you know, the Lord wants to heal today, and I just spoke the word of God. I spoke the word of healing in the name of Jesus. You know, be healed, and the God is going to open eyes. Be healed in Jesus' name. I couldn't see. It was quite a big crowd. I couldn't see who was deaf, who was blind, who wasn't. And this lady comes to me and said, you know, when you pray, I felt this heat. I felt almost like the hands were laid on my eyes, and I thought, fantastic. So I was carrying a Bible in the days of Bibles. Do you remember that, those days of Bibles? Yeah. Now you got iPads falling apart. So I had a thin line when I could read the small letters, and I gave Psalm 23, because I thought, well, if she doesn't, if she can read it, she may know it by heart. So we can, I know, this is like operating purely on the flesh, in the flesh. I repented from that since. And so I gave it to her, and she couldn't read it. Now, not even Psalm 23 couldn't read it. And I felt this peace. I mean, weird, because you're standing there, you're like, standing there like a lemon, literally. And I said, you know, in the probably about 1,000 people, over 1,000 people. Yeah, I was being watched from all angles. So as the lady walked back, I said, look, as we continue, you're going to be healed, fully healed. And I thought, well, if the first one I looked like a lemon, imagine the second one what could look like. So the lady went back to the front, to the back. And then 2 minutes later, I'm talking about something completely different. Said, I am healed. So they bring it back to the front. I thought, is she trying to call attention or that? Because, you know, I could do without this. I mean, you know, I was kind of like hoping the meeting will finish. Some people will respond to Christ, you know, love, you know, hug the Mexicans. Off I go. I mean, great day, but I'm exhausted. She comes forward. And but this time I thought, I'm not going to give a Psalm 23. I'm getting some obscure passage from Numbers or, you know, Chronicles or whatever. And you know, some genealogies with some weird names. And I gave it to her. And she began to read them all word by word. And God had healed her. She told us she'd been like 10 years, you know, completely, fully, total blindness. And God opened her eyes that night. I want to illustrate. This is not to put medals and all that, because we're not that kind. We're not interested in that. But just to illustrate that God can, and that God is willing to do so in spite of you. Yeah? In spite of you. I think sometimes, you know, I'm an evangelist. You know, there's sometimes places that are really well organized. And you just feel that you're feeling a part of the show, as it were. But when God comes, and let me tell you what happened afterwards. What happened afterwards, the person I was traveling with, Chris, from Norfolk, taps me here. And because we weren't really going, I mean, people were rejoicing, but I was flat ass. And it's tapping here, and he said, Mario, can you see that? And then through the windows began a mist coming into the room. I'm not into... You know, and some people say, you know, gold dust. And I'm not into anything like that. I mean, I don't. God can do whatever He likes, and He's, you know, He surprises us. But I'm really not into. I don't do those things. I don't share those things. I may not have seen that, but it's irrelevant. But you know, as God is my witness, the place began to fill with this what appeared to be a mist, to the point that was, you know, you could hardly see people within. But what happened is more incredible, because you could say, well, maybe a cloud. No, I don't know. Fog can do that. I don't know if there's any chemist or physics person, if that's what you call. But what was most important is that actually we felt gently being pushed out of it. And what began to happen inside is something that, you know, I can only explain as God's glory came into the place. What began to happen inside? People began being healed, being delivered, demons being cast out. People began to speak in other tongues. I haven't been talking about the Holy Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit or the baptism of the Spirit. God came. God came and visited that place. It wasn't rehearsed, it wasn't engineered, it wasn't prepared. It was just a couple of people from far away who really want to bless locals and folk in another place. And clearly, I had nothing to give. I wonder if I had something to give. Maybe God has said, well, you have something to give. I'm glad I had nothing to give that day. And trust me, now I'm more trained, I'm more rounded, and so on. But at the time, I was a novice. And I think that's exactly what God is looking for. You know, what are you willing to do to see one more life come into Jesus? What are you willing to sacrifice? Because I think, we've spoken about these things in the last few days, and I'm going back to that child that was weeping. My brain sort of works places. Sorry if I get lost, but you're going to get something today, I'm pretty sure. Not by my might and my efforts, but by the Spirit, I do believe. What I notice I travel to Spain, I go to other countries, we do a lot of work in Mexico as well. And what I notice is that over there, they're struggling with other things. Over there, they're struggling with a sense of like resources are limited. So you have, say for example, you got a 10 unit amount of resources, that's all you have. Well, my God is a God of limitless resources. But what he wants from us is to begin that journey of faith. Whatever God is saying to you, because we say, Lord, speak to me. Yeah? We're all Christians. God, would you speak to me? Would you speak to us? And then at some point, God speaks. Because he always does. It may not be when you want it. It may not be in the way you want it. Yeah? But at some point, God begins to speak that word. And when God begins to speak that word, what he wants from us is that we respond by faith. God speaks to me about my marriage. God speaks to me about my family. And God begins to speak. And often with God, almost certain with God, is that because he operates always by faith. By faith he made, what, the heavens, the earth, the sea. He spoke the word. You know, he didn't hit the rock. He spoke the word. And those things which are not came into being. As God speaks to you, you respond to it. And so what I see outside the UK is that sense of what we call a mentality that resources are limited. Some people call it a poverty mentality. I'm trying to be nicer here, okay? A mentality, a mindset that resources are limited. Of course, resources are not limited in the kingdom of God. You know, do you need money? Resources are there. Do you need people? Do you need the right people to do the right thing? Resources are there. Do you need openness? Do you need open doors and favor? Resources are there, you know? And I'm not talking about what we do in the church, but I'm talking in your context as well. Resources are always there with God. You know, God is a God of all impossibilities. He's a God whose resources are limited. But what I notice here in the UK, and I've got a bit of experience, you know, we have a bit of experience having pastored here as well. What I've noticed is almost like people, this things are laid upon the altar of comfort. There's a sense where, you know, we're kind of embraced, enticed by all the things that are going on in our lives. And what the outcome is passivity, you know. We believe in a God who has unlimited resources. Maybe that's the problem, and that's always the challenge. But I don't think it's a general problem. I think the general problem is like God wants to resuscitate us. He wants to awaken us to see what he's doing. Not that we do what we need to do, and then we ask God, come and help our programs, come and help our community. Actually, what are you doing, Lord? Because when you begin to do that, you're not laying down things upon the altar of comfort. You begin to lay things upon the feet of Christ. You begin to lay things. You move from there and then you go back to the cross. Because we all want resurrection. Amen? But before resurrection, you know, there's that process. Almost like the unknown. And those who know that journey of faith, you know, it's uncomfortable. It makes you vulnerable in many ways. But it's nothing comparable with that glory, that eternal weight of glory. It's nothing comparable with those rewards and that closeness that you get with God. Yesterday we were talking about, I haven't covered my 3 points yet. How are we doing with time? I just want to make sure that, yeah? A little, okay, fine. Are we okay? Yeah? If you want me to shut up, we can sit down and have a coffee and, you know, or a pint or whatever you guys do, you know. Yes. Awesome. We were talking about desperation yesterday, and I'm actually borrowing the message from my conversations with Dan and Rebecca. We're talking about desperation, you know. We see it as a positive thing, you know. We want to be more desperate for God. We want to be more hungry for God. Yeah? We should hope that's it, right? That you want more of God. Yeah? We should. And so, but we can't have it. Somehow we just feel flat. We feel like, you know, we're going through the motions. Life is happening. And I think that gift of desperation, because that hunger, that passion for more, that's going to move you to reach out for more, is something that happens when you begin to move towards the vision and the direction that God is asking you. You're never going to have it earlier. You know, it's not that you get a desperation so that you can move. No, you begin to move. You know, we wonder, and lo, I will be with you. Well, there's not lo without go. It's not happening. But as you begin to go, lo, whoa, you know, that's the promise that of intimacy, the promise of closeness with God, the promise of glorious and unspeakable hilarious joy, the promise of this incredible strength that no matter what happens, you know that everything is going to be okay. You know, this incredible hope that sustains you and keeps you rooted in the purposes of God. So you need to, I really encourage you, and I like this, I like so much more, especially when we have the space, the group is, small in the sense that we can interact. But I like always to ask questions. I'm not going to demand answers, but one of the questions that I want you to ask God is like, Lord, what's your vision? And I know that you probably asked this question, but ask this question with a willingness to do whatever it takes to respond to it. What's your vision for my life? What's your vision? You're married, family. You know, what's your vision for my marriage, for my family? What's your vision for, my development? And as a church, where are you going? You know, what's the vision? You know, because in here, I really sense the presence of God. I really sense the presence of God. I sense the love of God. Yeah? And obviously, you know, that comes first. All right? That's the most important of all. In that, you know, we're part of what God is doing. And you're part of what God is doing here in Crawling. You're part of what God is doing here in the UK. And you're part of what God is doing in the nations. Because now we have a connection. You guys are going away. You know, this is an open international church. You want to know what God is saying, right? And you're willing to sacrifice. You know, you're willing to pour resources into that. That's wonderful. That's absolutely wonderful. So that journey begins with you, and begins with your connection with God, asking God, what is your vision? What are you saying to me? You know, with a willingness that you're going to respond to it. You may be surprised what God says. Go ahead and do it. Because you're never, never. Never say never with God, right? Well, it's unlikely. Unlikely you're going to have an angel from heaven coming down and says, thus says the Lord. Right? Because you're not sure it's going to make any difference. If an angel says that, of course, I was speaking figuratively, okay? That's nothing to do with you, okay? Because you're certainly going. But what I want to emphasize is that, have that openness. Go with God, speak to Him, and know there's so much more in God. There is so much more in God. And I'm not one, you know, last week I was in a church ministering to 8,000 people, over 8,000 people there, big, large campaigns as well. God is here. The same God who's opening the eyes of that lady, the same God who's raising the dead in Africa and other places, it's the same God that is here today. Well, why is not doing stuff there? Let me tell you one thing. Those people, even though they have their own issues of themselves, they're people who, for whatever reason, you know, they're people who go in. They're people who are stepping out in faith. That's the difference. That is the difference, okay? And I'm not going to fall into why people heal there, why people heal. No, no. We've seen so many people being healed as well and restored and lives being transformed here in the UK. And there's so many movements going on now that, and the wonderful things, what I love about this is that actually, thank God for that. Do you know the pressure that is upon, you know, evangelists and so on? It's like the pressure to perform, the pressure to always get these results and all that. Actually, what God is doing is mobilizing the church, which is so much more effective. You know, you can have a great warrior, you know, and you've seen the mighty men of David. But actually, there were these big armies of people who did mighty things for, you know, in God's name, you know, to fulfill God's purposes. So what God is doing in the UK is mobilizing a whole generation of people, because some of us are middle-aged, yeah, praise God. Raise your hand if you're middle-aged, yeah, hallelujah, yeah. No, nobody, great, you're either young or maybe not so young. And, you know, we have this one generation too. And, you know, we made the choice. We have a lovely space in Spain, lovely space up in the mountains. You know, doors are opening up in Spain, back, left, center, all places. You know, we're working with, not just with churches, we're working with the church of a whole province coming together. So we're planning huge things there. And that was just begun happening. But God speaks to us. He said, you know, bring this message to the church in the UK, because, you know, I'm about to do something, you know, I'm about to do a new thing, I'm about to do something that, you know, it has no precedent. So, you know, do we want to be history makers, or, you know, or do we want to just read history books? I love reading history books, but, you know, we're part of God's plan, and God can do anything with anyone if we dare to believe. So three things to remember quickly, okay? Love, care for the message you present. Make sure that your message is congruent with the way you live your life. You present a message of love, you know, make sure you're loving first. Make sure you're full of the love of God. Make sure that you have this, that you see your life as the highest purpose of your life, discovering the love of God and learning how to love God and love others. And look at that, you know, I think it's time that God is preparing us. So he's bringing us back to a place of where we set our priorities in place, you know. We break that altar of comfort, okay? By all means, you know, I believe in recreation, you know, our soul needs to be recreated. But actually that we give God the place, you know, does God have the highest place and the central place in your life? Okay, that's what you have to ask. If not, it has to be there. And then finally, Jesus was one with the Father. We know that, right? He was in harmony with God. He only spoke what he heard the Father saying. He only did what he saw the Father doing. As a man, he could have done whatever he wanted, but he chose to obey the Father. Yeah? And so when Jesus met people and people met Jesus, well, they were seeing not just Jesus, a man, yeah, but also the Father. Jesus being fully God, don't get me wrong, I'm getting my doctrine right here. But people met the Father. People wanted to know the Father. Well, there he was. And the question is that when people meet us, is it just meeting little old me, or are they seeing aspects of Jesus? Because every time that you respond by faith, you're manifesting an aspect of God. Yeah? Every time that you're faithful, acting with integrity, you're manifesting the faithfulness of God. Every time that you're loving and compassionate, you're presenting a God who is loving and compassionate. So how congruent is our message? Which, here in the UK, I don't have to insist. When I go to Mexico, I have to cover the ABC of the gospel, accept, believe, confess, and the gospel and the message of the cross. I have to cover those things because, you know, they have some theological questions there. Let's put it that way. And so, yeah, let us be congruent with that. And then what finally, I've got right to one finally. I've got 2 minutes. I can do two, I think, two finally as an evangelist. Finally, that harmony can now imagine Jesus gave that witness to the apostles, and the apostles gave that witness, have passed on that witness to us. You know, we have this generation. What God is looking for is not a church of sympathizers. You know, those who sympathize with Jesus, those who the Jesus, who was that? The The church is not the Jesus Appreciation Society. What God is looking for is a church that's militant. It's a church that's militant. Those who come from other nations know that. You know, to be a Christian in other places, it means life or death. You know, what God is looking for is a church that's militant. And until we don't get that, then, well, you know, we're going to struggle. But all that begins with that journey with God, that connection with God, that we're close to Him, and that we're willing to pay the price. And that, you know, I encourage you today to kind of grab your weapon of faith and smash those altars in your life and bring God back. That's your case. That was my case. To bring Him back to that place of preeminence. And just allow God to minister to you. Emphasize again that this town is open, and there are many opportunities and divine encounters that are there waiting for us to appropriate that blessing, to take that treasure, and to lead many unto salvation. Can we stand together, if you can? Father, I thank you so much for your presence here with us right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for not just for the praise, Lord, but also for those new songs that have brought us into a deeper place with you. And Father, we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. I pray, Lord, that even though, Lord, we make mistakes, Father, even though we lack the right way, in many occasions, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would confirm whatever truth was being said today in every heart and in every mind. I pray for your anointing, Lord, to cover us, Lord, that will be coated, that will be soaking wet in your presence, in your power. And I also pray, Father God, for a greater revelation of your precious love that surpasses all understanding. Lord, my prayer today is that you would give us eyes to see people, to see those around us as you see them, Lord. Not just in their natural or physical or emotional or financial need, but also in their spiritual need. Father, we know that people without Jesus, though alive, are dead. And we pray, Lord, that we would learn to see people how you see them. Jesus, you looked at the multitudes and you saw them like sheep without shepherds. Lord, I see many shepherds here in this place. Every lover of Jesus, every person who has Jesus in their lives is a shepherd. You being the guardian and the shepherd of our soul. And I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, come upon us. Only you can do that. We couldn't possibly engineer it. It's not about shouting the loudest. But when you come, Lord, that when you touch our hearts, and when you sow that seed in our hearts, everything begins to change. I pray not only for this lovely church, this great community, Lord, that in which your love is. I also pray for all churches in Crawley and this whole area. Lord, we acknowledge that you have opened this city and that there are many opportunities for the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. We know that it is good news. Wonderful news, awesome news, the news of salvation, the news of new beginnings, the wonderful news of a loving Father who embraces and adopts all those who trust His Son Jesus. So Father, I pray right now that your Spirit be upon us. Lord, that you would just immerse us yet again in a new baptism of love and fire and power in the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. And even as I'm praying, I just see the Holy Spirit almost like touching and coating your hands, anointing your hands for the battle, preparing your hands and your arms, and putting your spiritual armor, getting you ready for the battle. He's calling people to his ranks, calling people right now to his ranks, calling people, just the Spirit is going to and fro, seeing hearts right now. Would you be willing to pay the price? Would you be willing to break those altars that are not the altar of praise that we need to prepare and elevate to the Lord? And Father, we just pray for open heavens. Lord, even this week, we pray for divine appointments. Lord, that we would not miss out on those opportunities that you're going to present before us. Those divine appointments we believe that you have for us, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for those who are struggling with addiction, struggling with anxiety, struggling with fears, struggling with sickness. I pray for your healing power right now in the name of Jesus. We declare the word of restoration in this moment, in every line, every household, in every body, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we also pray for those who once upon a time used to be a part of this fellowship. Lord, any other churches in the area, Lord, bring the prodigals back. Bring the prodigals back. Pray, Father, for this revelation of the Father's love and the Father's heart. Right now, Lord, thank you. Thank you for Jesus opening the way to this incredible life, incredible world of God in which we are and we are one, in which we're a part of. Thank you, Father, for being so wonderful to us. In Jesus' name, amen.